Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, our text is verses 13 through 15. But before we get into that text, I want to give you a little background to help us better understand the spiritual life that we have in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. So the child of God is a born-again creature. We are a born-again creature. We have a new nature which is born after the seed of Jesus Christ. We are born, formed, made after the image of our Lord and Savior. We have come forth from His seed. We're familiar with that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New. We are a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. That being said, the child of God yet remains in this flesh. We still are in this dead, corrupt flesh from Adam. And we wait for a new body at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, called in scriptures the redemption of our bodies. When our Savior, who came and purchased us, comes and picks up that which He purchased. He comes and claims, lays hold of what He's purchased. And so this flesh, what you see and know of this flesh, it is the old man of sin, the old nature of sin, which was born after the seed of Adam. He come forth of corrupt seed, defiled seed, spiritually dead seed. When Adam sinned against God in the garden, we were in Adam, we sinned also. And if you have any doubts, all you have to do is be honest with yourself, and you see and know that you are a sinner, just like Adam. We all sin in this flesh. And so, even though we're new creatures, sin yet dwells in this flesh, in the flesh of a believer. The scripture I like to go to that is Romans 7, verse 20, where Paul said, now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So we yet have sin dwelling in this flesh. And we're not going to rid ourselves, purge ourselves of this sin in the flesh by works of righteousness that we do, by religious services and by doing our best and trying real hard. You're never going to rid this flesh of sin. Christ does that when He returns and resurrects us with a new body. And so, in addition to sin dwelling in this flesh, we feel the temptation of sin. We feel the temptation. Sometimes you don't even have to do what you're tempted to do, but even that temptation burdens you. And you still feel the suffering of it because you hate your sin. You don't want to do those things. You don't want to be bogged down in that corruption and having your mind swoon and worry and the doubts that come in when we sin. You don't even want that. And sometimes just the temptation of the sin is so disappointing to us that we would even think those thoughts and consider such a thing. But Peter said it this way, showing that we do feel the temptation. He said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims that you abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Meaning we're still tempted by it. And he says, put it off. That's the old man. Put that off. Now, before the grace of God in Christ, all we knew were the works of the flesh. All we knew were the lusts of this flesh. But now, being born again by the regeneration of the Spirit of God, taking the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, washing us in His blood, giving us a new birth after this by the seed of Christ, the Holy Spirit is given to us to comfort us, to teach us. And He always testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ, who bears fruits of Christ in the child of God. If you would know, what spirit do I have, does the Spirit turn you to Christ? because the Holy Spirit always testifies of Christ, always turns the child of God from self to behold, to look to cry out, to groan in the Spirit for Christ. We always are turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we know whether it's the Spirit of God or another spirit. If you're looking to the flesh, if you're trying to save yourselves, that's a false spirit. It may be a religious spirit, but it's a false spirit if it turns you from Christ. And so every blessing that we have, every blessing is given to the elect child by God. It's given by God through grace in Jesus Christ. I'm going to read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Peter says it this way, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." So this life that we have in Christ is something entirely different from the dead religion of dead sinful men. It's entirely different in Christ. The dead religion of man teaches you that you earn the blessings of God, and you must earn those rewards by the things that you do, and that you must purge your conscience of sin by atoning for that through various works and doing things to save yourselves. That's the religion of man. That's not what we're taught by our God in Christ. We're not taught to look to the flesh, but to look to Christ and to trust him. All things truly are new in Christ. In Galatians 6, verse 15, it says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." A new creature. And that new creature is born of Jesus Christ. So Paul, in our text, is talking here about spiritual life. He's speaking of the spiritual life that new creatures in Christ have of him. To live in the Spirit is a spiritual work. To walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, is a spiritual work that only born-again persons who are redeemed by the blood of Christ can ever know. Without the Spirit, any attempt that we do to please God is but a fleshly, carnal work. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. For without faith, anything not of faith is sin. And so the carnal man will incorporate the law, or it doesn't even have to be the law of Moses. It could be some other religious work or some other religious service. They incorporate things religious to accomplish what he thinks pleases God. He turns to religion, he turns to the law, because all he is flesh. That's all he knows, that's all he thinks God is looking for, and so he turns to things of the flesh in order to earn or to obtain the favor and the blessings of God. This is why we say all blessings, all spiritual blessings are in Christ, and for Christ's sake, not because you pull things together and turn things around. If you've repented or turned and you have a sweet fellowship with the Lord, it's by the grace of God, not because you did something to earn that. There will be fruits. You'll see how the Lord blessed you and rewarded you richly, because it's all of his grace. It's all in the Lord. We give him thanks when we have a heart to read his word and a heart to pray to the Lord and a heart full of love. We give our God thanks because we know it's of his grace. If we were left to ourselves, it would just be fleshly, dead, empty, vain works that do us no good and do not save us. And so this is what the background is to what we see in our text today. I've titled this message, "Fulfilling the Law by Love." Fulfilling the Law by Love. So these Galatian believers here, they were being taught by this group of the circumcision. They were being told that life and salvation required their obedience to the law of Moses, beginning with their circumcising their sons after the manner of Moses. They were told, this is life. This is your salvation. This circumcision group, sometimes called the Judaizers, many of them did believe that Jesus was the Christ, or at least, at the very least, there seems to be a sense even that the Jewish religion was willing to accept the Christians and to accept Christ as a sect of Judaism, so long as they were the ones in charge, so long as they submitted to Moses. So they saw Christ and the church as subservient to Moses. And that would then leave them in power and in control. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests. It would be like the Catholic Church. If all the Christian churches were under the Pope or under the church, we'd all be under a corrupt system. A system of Antichrist. A system that's of fleshly works that cannot save. Works, dead works of the flesh. Our God has delivered us from that. He's given us His Spirit, whereby we walk and know our God and have fellowship with Him. Thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't now turn to the works of the flesh. We don't turn back to the law to try and do what only the Spirit can work in us. This is why Paul in Galatians 3:3, he said, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Is God going to turn you now from spiritual things and what He's done for you by the Spirit of God? Is He now going to turn you back to the flesh to follow the law according to the flesh? Is God going to do that for you, His child? The Lord doesn't do that. We don't perfect what only God has already perfected by Christ. We can't add anything to that and improve upon it. And so that teaching, right, there's a lot of places that once you come in through the gospel, that sheep food, which is preached to you through the preaching of Christ, they then slip away that gospel food for the sheep and they give you the goat food. They say, now you're going to go on to maturity and you're going to start eating this. And they give you the law of Moses to perfect that which God has already done. All right? And so that's a pernicious teaching. Pernicious meaning it's death. It's deadly. It's dangerous. It leads to death and destruction and causes great harm against the truth. That's what it is. So this is why Paul said in Galatians 5:12, "I would that they were even cut off which trouble you." And what he means by that is, I wish that they were cut off from having any more influence over you to harm you and to create mischief in the churches. It was annoying that everywhere Paul went and preached the gospel, you'd have these people come in behind him and undo that which he tried to undo what he did, what he said. They were saying, well, that sounds great that now you've heard of Jesus, but have you heard of Moses? Because now you've got to go on to stronger things. Now you've got to come under the law. And so that became the focus, was the law. And Paul said, that's dangerous. I wish they were cut off. I wish they had no more influence. And to show you that in Titus 1, I'll read it, Titus 1, verse 10, and the beginning of 11, he says, "There's many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped." That's what he's saying. I wish they were cut off, that they had no more voice in your pulpits, that they weren't teaching you guys and you weren't hearing this nonsense. So salvation is not achieved by something we do in the flesh. That's how the old man of sin operates. But that's not the Spirit of God. That's not the power of God, of which is revealed in the preaching of Christ in the gospel. That simple word, that barley cake, as we saw this morning, that simple poor man's food, you preach that, and I'll give the interpretation to my child. They'll hear it and rejoice in Him who saves His people. And so the Spirit is always testifying of what Christ accomplished, what He has obtained for you. You see it constantly in the Old Testament, where you see the sin of the people, the sin of the people, God declaring, you've done this, but I shall be gracious to you. I'm going to turn you. In spite of your sin, because you're never going to get it together, I'm going to be gracious to you, and I will turn your heart, and you shall be turned. You shall be delivered. That's the power we need. That's the power we always want, is the Lord effecting that change in us. And if you cry out to him and groan, Lord, turn me, save me, deliver me from the pollution of this flesh, it's because God gave you that burdened heart and showed you what you are in self and showed you your need of him, because he has shown himself to you to be all-sufficient, the all-glorious, all-sufficient Savior by him and him alone. And so we don't work to get more spiritual life and greater blessings. God gives these blessings, and only he can give them through the work of his Spirit, by the power, through the preaching of the gospel, made effectual unto your hearts to see and to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. And his people live. This calling that we have is called an holy calling. An holy calling. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9, he said, God hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. That doesn't mean that we now put on a layer of the law over our faith in Christ. He says it's with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That means God isn't turning you to your flesh. The law was given because of our sin in the flesh, because of what we are by nature. The law was given because of that. Paul said to Timothy, he said, the law wasn't made for a righteous man. It was made for a righteous man because you have the Spirit of God who has filled your hearts with love and hope for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to go and do those wicked things that we did in the flesh, but we don't need the law to tell us that. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, which shows us our need of Christ and fills our hearts with love and care for our brethren and to be kind and loving to them. Christ has provided it all. Let's look at Romans 2 before we move on from this. Romans 2, verse 28 through 29. Since we're talking about circumcision, and there's a tremendous amount of similarities in Galatians and Romans. Things that he wrote in Galatians, you see in Romans. Things in Romans, you see in Galatians. But this one, he branched out a little bit more, saying in Romans 2, verse 28 through 29, he says it this way, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision, there's a circumcision, but it's that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, this is all very relevant. This background's all relevant because this understanding of these things is going to determine very much how you hear the scriptures and informs your understanding of spiritual life. Of spiritual life. One denies the power of God and turns you to your flesh to practice holiness, to practice a righteousness, or to make a sanctification by turning you to the law of Moses for these things and equating the blessings that the children of God have with their obedience to the law. Right? They tie, oh, if you have blessings of God, it's because you've turned to the law and are trying your best to do the law. Right? That's one, but that denies the power of God spoken of in the scriptures. The other one, through the Spirit, Paul said in Galatians 5:5, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. By faith. That is, we follow Christ, not following after Moses. We follow Christ and we seek our God through prayer, trusting Him, believing Him, crying out to Him for His grace and mercy. We believe the truth as it's revealed in Christ. In Christ. All right, so there's the background. Now, Paul says in verse 13, in Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Right? He doesn't say by law serve one another. He says by love serve one another. Now, that verse 13 is said in the context of what we were looking at last time when we looked at verse 11. Galatians 5:11 says, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." Right? So the Jews were preaching circumcision to control the sins and the passions that are in our flesh. Right? These things are yet present. We yet feel the temptation of our sins. And the Jews were preaching Moses and the law to control those passions and those lusts in the flesh. And that's often what men are doing even today. It's to keep under the breaking out of sin and gross sin and wickedness by turning people to the law. To the law there. But, oh, and it began with circumcision, right? It began, they started it off by turning these Christians, the Gentile Christians, to the law of Moses to sanctify themselves and make a righteousness for themselves through obedience to the law. And once they turned from Christ and looked at the law, at Moses, it just picked up and progressed from there. I remember when I was a teenager and just beginning to seek the Lord myself, I met a fellow. And he read the Bible. If I remember correctly, he read the Bible to disprove it, but he ended up being convinced of it. But he was fixated on the law to the point where he wouldn't spit because there's a verse in there about not, you know, wasting any bodily fluids. He wore long sleeves in the heat of summer because he didn't want to expose his skin to the sun because that wouldn't be treating the body right. And so, you know, he was just focused on that. And that was all his hope. And you see it when you turn from Christ and you look to the law, that becomes the greater thing because the flesh loves to have something to glory in. It's a strong temptation for us all to glory in what we've done and to feel like we're in some level of control and influencing how life goes by the things we do or don't do. But Paul preached Christ crucified. He preached Christ crucified, declaring, "This is the power of God unto salvation." Why? Because we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And he goes on saying, "By one offering Christ hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Sanctified by that offering of Christ. That's Hebrews 10:10 and 10:14. So this calling, this holy calling of God in Christ, of which Paul says you've been called unto liberty, it refers to the fullness of the salvation that we have of God in Christ Jesus. Everything necessary is found in Christ because it's given by God in Christ. Everything, brethren, believe your God. The power of God is right there in Christ. Everything you need for salvation to stand before the throne of God faultless is met in Christ Jesus. And all who hope in him, who come like Paul saying, "I don't want to be found in my own righteousness, having some righteousness of my own. I want to be found fully in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so confident in him." He said, "I've committed everything and cast off all my religion as complete dung that I might be found in him." Found in him because there's the power of God. And I tell you today, brethren, it hasn't changed. Nothing's changed. All your salvation is provided fully in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the grace of God. The grace of God. When we look a few weeks ago back at Galatians 5:1, look at that verse, Galatians 5:1. Paul said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And that yoke is right tied to the law of Moses there in Acts 15. They want to put a yoke on the neck of the Gentiles. Don't be entangled with that yoke of bondage. We saw in that message how that Christ, by his death and his life, he's delivered his people from sin in this manner. Right? We know that we still wait for the resurrection of the body, the redemption of the body, but Christ has delivered his people from sin in this manner, from the guilt of sin, so that your sin is put away. There's no more sin. There's nothing to condemn you with because the sin is gone. It's been washed clean, purged by Christ. In the book where your name is written, there's no sin. It's righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's delivered his people from the dominion of sin. And what that means is that enmity, which is in me by nature in Adam, that's been put away. So that now I don't run from God and try to do my own things to come to God. I come to him in fellowship, met in the Lord Jesus Christ. That dominion that kept me in enmity against the true and living God has been destroyed by the death of Christ. He put it away. And third, we saw he's delivered us from the condemnation of sin, so that our sin in this flesh, it doesn't determine our inheritance. It doesn't decide where I'm going to be. Christ has decided that. He's determined. I don't stand in Adam's inheritance. I stand in the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my hope, and that's your hope. We're coming not what we are in Adam, but what we are in Christ. In Christ. So he's delivered us from the guilt of sin, the dominion of sin, and the condemnation of sin. And he gives us his Spirit, which gives us life in him, setting us free from the fleshly bondage that men are in by nature. When they labored under the law of Moses or labored in their church's traditions and church's doctrines to try and settle their conscience and cool off that burning, searing, hot conscience because of their sin, we don't have those fears and tremblings in Christ. We rest in him. We believe him. Men were doing that in fear. We did those things in fear. I remember it for a long time when I called myself a Christian and I didn't understand that I was constantly worried and afraid and doubting because I was looking to something I was doing or not doing in the flesh and not resting in Christ. Because I knew he was the Savior, but I didn't know what that even meant. I was still in darkness and in blindness, but thanks be to God, he delivered me from that, from those works of dung, because I was still trusting in fleshly things. And so Christ's salvation in Hebrews 2:15 says that he delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You don't need to fear. Rest in Christ. I'm not saying that we like what we see in the flesh, but we turn to the Spirit. We groan in the Spirit, crying out to the Lord, save me. Lord, deliver me from these passions. Deliver me from the lust of this flesh. Keep me, Lord, ever looking to Christ, because I don't want to be unprofitable. I don't want to be looking at what I've done and thinking about how I've just messed up. I want to just keep thinking of Christ and rejoicing in him. I want to think of the Lord and not be walking around in fear and doubts and worries, but trusting in Christ. So we don't now turn men to the law for righteousness. We don't drive our brethren to barren fields of hard, crunchy, worthless grasses at the base of Mount Sinai where there's lightnings and thunderings scaring the sheep and terrifying us and making us afraid. That's not where we bring our brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd, leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and he brings us to those cool, luscious green grasses of his grace, of his righteousness, of his mercy, of his peace beside still waters where you don't get scared and you don't get freaked out and worried because of what we are in the flesh. We rest in him. Now, Paul says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Why? Because there are people. There are crafty people who take that doctrine and what they know and they use it as a shield to get away, to do what they want to do in the flesh. But the Lord doesn't leave us there. Anytime we've done that or thought that, he's chastened us and turned us away from that. He teaches his people. He doesn't leave them to go on further and further into grosser and more wicked sins. He delivers his people. He knows how to save the righteous, how to preserve the righteous for himself. And so he does that. And he adds, don't use it as an occasion. Let me just add that too, that even people who follow the law, I've known people that went into horrible, gross sins while being practicers of the law. So whether you look to the law or you trust in grace, the wicked man is going to do what the wicked man is going to do. But if anyone be saved and delivered from that, it's by the grace of God who puts you in Christ and keeps you in there in Christ. Then he adds, but by love serve one another. Now in Galatians 5:14, he goes on, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. One thing you'll see when you're reading the New Testament is the believer is never commanded to keep or do the law of Moses. We're never commanded to do the law of Moses. Instead, the language of Scripture is always around how we fulfill the law. How we fulfill the law. And he said all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord your God has given you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, who leads you, who turns you to the Lord Jesus Christ, who brings you in his path of righteousness. And the Spirit fulfills all the law in you through love, which is the fruit of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. And he fulfills the law by filling you with love for your brethren, love for your God and love for your brethren. That's a very real and significant difference from doing the law and practicing the law and making that your focus. Right? The love he fills in your hearts is how you fulfill the law. Not doing the law, it's how you fulfill the law, accomplish what the law was given for. Galatians 5:15. He goes on, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. In other words, if you won't hear this and you turn to the law to try and work a righteousness and try to live among your brethren, ultimately you're going to start biting and devouring one another. Because you're going to be turned to the flesh and it's going to provoke that enmity which is in this flesh by the law. Just like Paul was, that enmity rose up in him, and then he knew what a sinner he was because he couldn't keep the law. So it's a walk of faith led by the Spirit, brethren. Let me read Romans 3. In fact, why don't you go there to Romans 3, because I'll take you to another verse in a moment. Romans 3:31. Romans 3:31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. In other words, we fulfill the law through the Spirit who fills his child with love for his brethren to serve them in a spirit of meekness and fear. Right? We don't want to hurt our brethren. That's not our desire. We want to see our brethren established and comforted and to come in peace to hear the gospel preached, that we may come and be comforted by our Lord. Have our eyes and hearts and minds set on him. We don't want to be worried about the things of this flesh. We want to hear Christ. We want to feed upon the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's wrought in us by the Spirit and by the power of God in Christ. So, this spirit of meekness and fear, turn to Romans 13, verse 8 through 10. Again, remember, we're never commanded to do the law. We're told that we fulfill the law by love, by that love given to us in the Spirit. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Paul said, 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another, what? Hath fulfilled the law. See the whole difference there? We're not focusing on doing the law. We're focused on love. We want to love our brethren in the Spirit. And in that, that's how you fulfill the law. You don't do the law, you fulfill what the law is saying. For this, verse 9, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended or understood in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You don't have to turn your focus on doing and practicing the law of Moses. You keep looking to Christ, who fills your heart with love. And in that love, you're going to fulfill the law. You're going to fulfill it. That's not our righteousness, is Christ. And we walk in love and faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's never fulfilled, or it's never accomplished by doing the law of Moses. It's accomplished through the law of faith and love, believing the Lord, trusting Him, wrought by the Spirit and the power of God in Christ. Turn over to 1 John. 1 John 3:16. Let's go to 1 John 3:16 through 18. He said, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are." Oh, I'm sorry. Hereby, verse 16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels and compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And so you see there, the Lord gives you love for your brethren. You care for your brethren. You'll be moved with love to provide for your brethren when they're in need. Not because you practice the law of Moses, but because you have the Spirit of God and they're your brother and your sister. And in loving them, not just in word, the Lord bless you, see you later, but in helping them in the way, any way you can, that law is fulfilled. It's accomplished. Not by something you've done, but the Lord working in you in love for your brethren. So, having seen that, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. This is our last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This righteousness of our God which we speak is only and can only be understood by those who have the Spirit and are led by the Spirit, who are born again. And we're not trying to justify ourselves or sanctify ourselves or work a righteousness for ourselves. We're walking in the Spirit, in the new man. We're looking to Christ, believing Him. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 through 14, "Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So, brethren, you that believe Christ, it's because that's been given to you. And if he gave it to you, he gave you his Spirit. And you have the Holy Spirit, whereby you rejoice in Christ. So don't look to the law to improve things or make things better. Look to Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you. You go and do likewise. You just focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and love your brethren. And in doing that, anything that needs to be done, is fulfilled, is accomplished by the Spirit in love. And so we rejoice in Him, we rest in Him, we trust Him for everything. So I pray the Lord bless that word to your hearts, brethren.